giveth more grace where the burdens grow greater. He sendeth more strength when the labors increase. To added affliction, he addeth his mercy. To multiplied trials, his multiplied peace. His love has no limit, his grace has no measure, his power no boundary known unto men. For out of his infinite riches in Jesus, he giveth and giveth and giveth again. When we have exhausted our store of endurance, when our strength has failed ere the day is half done, when we've reached the end of our hoarded resources, our Father's full giving is only begun. That's a poem written by Annie Johnson Flint, who was born back in 1866. But that poem certainly gives the essence of the gospel when it comes to Christ being all-sufficient. And when we come to a dead-end street, and there seems to be no way out, and we have exhausted our store of endurance and our strength has failed, even before the day is half done, when we've reached the very end of it, the end of our hoarded resources, and there's nothing left, then our Father's full giving is only begun. This is John Thrasher, and I look forward to sharing with you these 30 minutes of morning devotions. I don't know where you are at this precise moment, but God knows where you are. And I just can't help but believe that the Holy Spirit directed you to turn on this radio station and listen to this broadcast at this precise moment, and that you need this word from the Lord. And the fact that he gives more grace when the burden grows greater. I don't know who I'm talking to, but I just feel in my heart that there are many out there in that unseen audience who needs to hear these words, and how that God sends more strength when the labors increase. I believe with all my heart, and I've told you this for years and years and years on this broadcast, that the water is never so deep, never, but what God's grace will bring you safely through if you will cry out to him. No, you have to seek him, and you have to cry out to him. Just like blind Bartimaeus would have been left in his blindness there at Jericho if he had not cried out to the Lord. That must be where Fanny Crosby got the words of her hymn, "Pass me not, O gentle Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by." Well, the Lord will pass us by if we remain in indifference and we just don't care. But he won't pass you by if you cry out to him. That's a guarantee. The Word of God guarantees that. If you seek him early, you will find him. Are you going through some deep water? Are the burdens greater? Has your strength run out? Then look to the Lamb of God. Look to Jesus. Those aren't empty words. Oh, I know the world. They have a field day with the name of Jesus and with Christianity and the things of the Bible. But it's not play. And it's not something concocted of man's imagination. The gospel is for real. Jesus is for real. His name is wonderful. His name is powerful. And there is a God in heaven who loves and cares and understands, who created us, and he knows our frame, that we are but dust. And if we cry out to him, the Bible says that he is rich unto all that call upon him. Everybody. Man, woman, little boy, little girl, grandpa, grandma, every one of us. When we cry unto the Lord, he's right there to bring deliverance, to bring salvation, to bring strength, and to bring wholeness. So, dear friend, this morning, during these 30 minutes, let's just worship the Lord together. Turn the eyes of our soul heavenward, and let's praise the Lord. I love to hear Jan Dorsey sing. This song was recorded in a regular morning worship service here at First Christian Church. I want to listen. Listen to her. Let my life praise you, Lord. Let my life praise you and please you. Listen to the words and let it be the desire of your heart and mind. Beautiful prayer for us to make throughout this day today. Lord, let my life praise you. Everything I do, everything I say, my attitude, my motive, even the tone of my voice, even the look on my countenance, let it praise you. I do believe that when the Holy Spirit fills our hearts and when Jesus becomes real and dear and precious to us, it does become our insatiable desire to please God in everything. No matter how others act, how others live, what the world does around us, it is the desire of the true Christian to please the Lord and for his or her life to praise him in everything. Don't you think so? Listen to this verse given by the Apostle Paul as he was writing to Timothy. It's recorded in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Now when Paul said, I am the chief of sinners, and Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. When he called himself the chief of sinners, he wasn't just being pious or humble. It wasn't a play on words. He meant it. And if you have ever read the book of Acts, you will realize why Paul said what he did, because he was mean. It is amazing to me how that the grace of God can touch a mean heart and change him forever. Isn't that wonderful? Do you remember when Paul was standing before King Agrippa? It's recorded in chapter 26 of the book of Acts. And he was giving a recount of his visitation from the Lord on his road to Damascus. This is what he said to King Agrippa. I verily thought within myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth, which thing I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priest, and when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them, and I punished them often in every synagogue, and compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto foreign cities. Whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priest, at midday, O king, I saw in the way light from heaven above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me and them who journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me, and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. But rise, and stand up upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes, and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins, and inheritance among them who are sanctified by faith that is in me. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. And if you want to read the account of his conversion, read Acts chapter 9. When here again, Saul of Tarsus, because that was his name before he became Paul the Apostle, when Saul of Tarsus was headed to Damascus with letters from the high priest to find every Christian believer he could in Damascus and to bind him or her and have them thrown into prison and possibly death, as he was in pursuit of that purpose, he had a head-on collision with Jesus Christ and was totally turned around, genuinely converted. Oh, I know there are a lot of hypocrites and there's a lot of phony stuff and people who say they've been born again, don't even know what it all is about or what it means. But I also know that there are genuine conversions when the grace of God touches a sinner's heart and he or she is totally and completely turned around, where they were headed in one direction toward hell and destruction and darkness and emptiness and despair and hopelessness. Now when grace touches the heart, they're headed toward heaven and the highway of holiness, and the joy of the Lord has filled their heart, and the peace of heaven has saturated their soul and mind and emotions, because it's a miracle of God's grace. So when Paul says, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief," he really was the chief of sinners. Can you imagine, you know, this man of God that we love so much and appreciate his writings, the one who wrote the epistle to the Romans, Galatians, Ephesians, Colossians, the Thessalonians, the Timothys, the Titus, all of those beautiful epistles, possibly the book of Hebrews, we don't know for sure, but some of it sure sounds like the writings of Paul. The epistles to the Corinthians, all of those wonderful words, we just can't imagine that this man, once upon a time, was a hater of Jesus. And he hated everybody who called upon the name of the Lord. And he was so full of zeal, trying to stamp out Christianity and the name of Jesus, that he wouldn't stop at anything in order to go and get people arrested and thrown into prison. And he would cause them to be tortured to the degree, to the point that he would force them to blaspheme the name of Jesus. Men and women. And see them put to death. Well, I can't help but believe that many a time Paul, even after his conversion, and he fell in love with the one that he had hated and despised so much, I can't help but believe that many a time in his mind, he could still see the look in the eye of those people that he was having put to death. And that sweet Christian lady that he forced to blaspheme the name of Jesus because he hated the name of Christ so much. Paul did that. Back when he was Saul of Tarsus, he thought he was religious. He thought he was a lover of God. He thought he was full of zeal. He was a Pharisee in the strictest sense of the word, but he didn't know God. And caused people to be tortured and put to death, and he probably could still see their faces. That's why he says, "Oh, Christ came into the world to save sinners." And listen, folks, I'm the chiefest. You know why I think the Bible gives us that story? One of the reasons, certainly, is to encourage every one of us in the fact that nobody is beyond his reach. No matter how desperate a person is and how low down and how far astray one may have gone, I'll tell you what the attitude of heaven is. No, listen, I know the Bible says in Hebrews 10, verse 31, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And I know the scripture says it is appointed unto man once to die, then after that the judgment. And I know the Bible says that we all shall stand before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account. But I also know that heaven's attitude toward a repenting sinner is not fire and judgment and the wrath of God. Now, there will be the wrath of God toward those who close fast their heart's door and say no to God and rebel against him and refuse to believe and refuse to accept his gift of love. But his attitude toward a repenting sinner is given to us in Luke chapter 15. When the shepherd found the lost sheep that had gone astray, and he put it on his shoulders and returned home rejoicing. And Jesus said, "Verily I say unto you, there's more rejoicing among the angels in heaven more than over the 99 just persons who needed no forgiveness or repentance." But that one sinner that repented, that one lost sheep that had gone astray, there was rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Yes, it is true that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And if you be as bad as Saul of Tarsus, the Lord will turn you around. Ephesians chapter 2, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Well, dear friend, I think I just want to pray for you right now. And remember, well, just like in Micah 7, verse 18, in the book of Micah, found in the Old Testament, chapter 7, verse 18, he retaineth not his anger forever, because he delighteth in mercy. He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities, and thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. Don't you want that? Don't you want the Lord to take all of your sins and mine and cast them into the sea of his forgetfulness? Well, let's pray for it right now. Dear God, we know that there is coming a day of wrath and a day of judgment. And sinners who stand before you unforgiven and unrepented, they have nothing to look forward to except the fiery judgment of the Lord. We know that, but we also know that in this moment, in this hour, this is the day of salvation. This is the acceptable time of the Lord. And anyone who turns to the Lord Jesus shall find him and be forgiven. Lord, we ask you to forgive us our sins. Wash us and cleanse us and cast all our sins into the depths of the sea to remember them against us no more. Wash us in your precious blood, in the blood of the Lamb of God slain on Calvary's tree for sinners, of whom we are chief. Lord, if you could save Saul of Tarsus, you can save anybody. I pray for these listening to the broadcast right now. May they find in Jesus that tender, gentle, loving Savior who delights in forgiveness, who delights in restoration, who delights in making whole. Thank you for being such a wonderful Savior. We ask these things through Jesus our Lord. Amen.
Christ has for sin atonement made. What a wonderful Savior.
We are redeemed, the price is paid. What a
is good to us, isn't he? Let's love him, praise him, no matter what others do and how others live. May it be our heart's desire to please God in everything we do and say. Well, this is John Thrasher. Thanks for listening to Morning Devotions for the past half hour. And I trust that you have a good day in the Lord. Walk in victory. May God give you the grace and strength you need to walk in victory every moment of this day. God bless you abundantly.